ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ 33 and 34 and 35. Translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport. Everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. Notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. Text 34. The conditioned soul may conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions. And as being affected, the conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions, such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. He also suffers due to the activities of other living beings and due to natural disturbances. When he is unable to counteract them and has to remain in a miserable condition, he naturally becomes very morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. Text 35. Sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be tiny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and become enemies. You read these, no? This is repetition almost. As stated in the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 8th verse, Pumsa astriya maituni bhavametam tayor mitho hridaya granthimahu atho grahakshetu sutapta vittair janasya mohoyam aham mameti. The monkey-like conditioned soul first becomes attached to sex, and when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others, and this creates enmity even among the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles, otherwise the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension among its members. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed. Om Ajnana Tamirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataruryascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. All problems of life are because of one thing, forgetfulness of Krishna. And forgetfulness of acting in our relationship with Krishna means, or the consequences, that we act in some other relationship. We cannot stay without acting. It's not possible. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes, when he's talking about the soul, that not even for a moment can the soul remain without acting, without doing something. Prabhupada describes that the symptom of life is activity. The Mayavadis, their response is, oh, if material activity is bad, just stop activity. Negation. So Prabhupada gives this example that if a parent takes a child to the doctor and says, my child has fever, and if the doctor says, oh, let's just chop off the head of the child. That way there will be no fever. Because there will be no child, so no fever. A parent will be, you know, a parent will freak out. So the idea is not that you don't have a child anymore. The idea is you to take care of the fever. Similarly, just because we have a material body and mind, the solution is not get rid of it by negating all sorts of activities for the body and for the mind and think that that's a solution. The solution is to spiritualize, to come back to return to our natural activities, our real activities. And on a practical level, anytime the mind, if our mind is disturbed, I shouldn't say if, when our mind is disturbed, because it's not a question of if, when our minds are disturbed, simply considering how to act in relationship with Krishna makes the mind feel very soothed and calmed. So what would Krishna like? Oh, I have to swallow my ego, I have to swallow some pride, I have to act truthfully, I have to act humbly. This is what Krishna would like me to do. All right, if that's what Krishna would like me to do. Just considering that makes the heart very, very peaceful. Otherwise, one has to devise various methods by which they have to counteract that situation. We have to engage our material intelligence, which, by the way, isn't much. Or sometimes we think of some common sense. Of course, common sense is part of Krishna consciousness. That's why it's not common. But we have to resolve, or we have to fall back on some material approach to a problem. Sometimes material approaches are important if they're done in Krishna consciousness. For example, if I have a cut, I need to take some medicine. That's a material approach. And if it is done in Krishna consciousness, it is valid, because that might affect my service like that. So it's not this approach or that approach, it's what's the consciousness behind the approach. That we are remembering our relationship with Krishna, and on that basis we're trying to do something. And for the conditioned soul, remembering Krishna is not easy. So yesterday, Arindu Chaitanya Prabhu, we are sadhakas, we're trying. We're trying to remember Krishna. We're trying to be in each other's company, even if we don't sometimes like it. We're trying to be in each other's company because we are reminded of Krishna. We don't have to say anything. Just by being in this, you know, presence of a devotee, looking at their tilak, their attire, what they're talking about, just being in an environment helps remembrance of Krishna. Then what to speak about when a devotee tells us something? Oh, this would be nice. Oh, that's very helpful. Otherwise, we have forgotten Krishna for a very long time. In fact, it has become such a long time that we have accepted our artificial nature as our real nature. It has been that long. It's like if we are in a country that doesn't speak our language, and because we've been speaking that new language over and over and over and over again, we forget our real language, because we have no way of expressing it, expressing ourselves in our original, what we call, native tongue. Like that, not exactly, but like that. We become what's called conditioned. That is the meaning of being conditioned. Conditioned means transformed, changed from one condition to another condition. Water, if it is cooled for a very, very long time and remains in that cool environment, it becomes ice. it gets conditioned to becoming ice. So all of the ice in the Arctic Circle and Antarctic Circle and in people's refrigerators is the unnatural state of water, because it remains in that condition. It remains in that environment. You remove it from that environment, and the first thing that happens is it tries to come back to its natural state. So out there, outside of Krishna consciousness, and we say out there, in this purport, Prabhupada says, in here also it's possible. But for the sake of discussion, out there means within the material sphere. As long as we maintain our consciousness in the material sphere, we remain conditioned by the material sphere. And as soon as we come out of the material sphere, our consciousness naturally goes to our true state. This materials going into the material sphere and coming out of the material sphere is within our capacity. Going into the material sphere, in all likelihood, is within our capacity. Coming into a spiritual sphere may not be within our capacity fully. We need mercy. But in general, it's true that it is within our choice set. I can choose to be there or I can choose to be here. I choose to be in the material sphere because it's something that I'm so conditioned to, it seems natural. And to come to the real environment doesn't seem that easy, is because I'm so conditioned that way. So I need mercy to pull me back into my real condition. I need some other power. I need Krishna's mercy. Yet the choice is within me. Because I can be in the, here Prabhupada writes, I can be in the temple environment, I can be in the association of devotees, but my consciousness can still be nicely engaged in the material sphere, in materialistic ways of seeing and doing things. And there is a ton of mercy available, yet I might not make use of even a drop of it. Although even a drop can make a very significant difference. When Vaisheshika Prabhu was here, for example, he was saying, on a day-to-day basis in our japa, we could pray to Radha and Krishna or Gaur Nithai, please give me one mustard seed size of realization. One mustard seed of realization, because that can carry me back to you. One mustard seed of realization. And I'm sure each one of us can attest to, we don't get only one mustard seed, we get a lot of mercy. One time someone wrote to my spiritual master, I'm realizing that Krishna is filling my cup with so much mercy. And he responded, you're only seeing how much cup he is filling, how much of your cup he is filling, but you're not seeing how much you're missing, how much more he is giving that you're missing out on. Meaning that there's so much mercy available. But either our cup is too small, or that's all we don't see beyond our situation. So when the consciousness is hovering in the material sphere, the first quality, or one of the very formidable issues one has to deal with, is fear. Bhayam dvitiya abhivineshata syat. Fear means forgetfulness of Krishna. As soon as we forget Krishna, we are in the realm of fear. Fear includes everything. Anxiety, disturbance, unpredictability, paranoia, the whole thing, the whole range of things is within fear. And as soon as one remembers Krishna, poof, all of that goes away. the pastime in Dhruva Maharaj's life, we read last year, I think, that when Uttama was killed in the forest, as the Lord had predicted, Dhruva Maharaj became very angry. And he challenged the Yakshas who killed his brother. So he set out on his chariot and he went looking for those Yakshas. Now Yakshas, they are those personalities who can appear and disappear at will. And they can cast mystical attacks. They can create mystical scenarios which bewilder the opponent. So there were 13 or 14,000 Yakshas who attacked Dhruva Maharaj simultaneously. And he fought with all 14,000 of them. And suddenly there was this massive dust cloud or storm created, and all sorts of hideous sounds and things being hurled at him. And he was like, wow, this is too big. How do I deal with this? Swayambhuva Manu and the sages came and told him, Harinama Dheyaha, you remember the Lord's name. And as soon as he mounted his arrow and pulled the string, the bowstring, he remembered the personality of Godhead and through his holy name. And as soon as he remembered, poof, that entire illusion, the mystic illusion that the Yakshas has created, had vanished. And his mind became completely free of fear. And Swayambhuva Manu and the others told him, don't fight, just let it be. And his mind became very, very calm. So here, because the dweller in the forest has forgotten Krishna, he or she has to deal with all sorts of anxieties. One anxiety is the fear of death, the elephant of death. Now if we notice people, Prabhupada says, everyone is afraid of death. Yet, the power of illusion and ignorance is so strong that people will do anything, they'll go to any extent, risking their lives to counteract death on the other hand. So if someone is afraid that they might starve to death because they don't have money to feed themselves, then to counteract that, they will do things like murder, steal, plunder someone else's wealth at a great risk of their own lives. Because anyone can shoot them, right? If you try to go to someone's house and steal their money, they can shoot. Or people hang out of the trains, especially in India. The rush is so much that you can barely get your hand in the train. The rest of the body is hanging outside. Have you seen ever? Ever traveled in Mumbai? If not, don't. It is so bad. It is so bad. So many people. And these are electric trains. There's high tension electricity flowing. And people sit on top of the train right next to, you know, those contact points. Fearless. Why? Because they have to work and feed their families who otherwise they will die. But they will risk their lives to... It's just foolishness in one sense. Is there a solution? We can say, yes, Krishna consciousness. And people will say, oh, come on, be real. But that's it. People risk their lives. In the name of entertainment, people will risk their lives like anything. They will drink. They will smoke. They will engage in contact sports. How can that be sport? It's part of entertainment. And they feel that if they don't have that to do, then life has no meaning. They will die. So to counteract that death, they will put their lives at such risk that they will die anyway. Kickboxing. What sport is that? People get concussions like anything. The brain gets mangled inside. Or even football, boxing, whatever. Muhammad Ali, butterfly. When he was young, he was butterfly. Now what is he? He's so hurt by all the punches that have hit him and all the concussions. He can barely pick up a cup of coffee for himself. He can't do it like that. Everyone's afraid of death, but they will do things that actually hasten death. Because there's ignorance. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sutapa Vidya Pittopataptarasanasan Rochikan. The power of ignorance is so strong that there is no taste for transcendence, there is no taste for Krishna, his name, form, activities. It's the strength of ignorance is very, very strong. So he has to counteract by material means. That's all. He has no alternative. While an alternative actually exists, it's called the spiritual alternative, he's not aware of it. Not being aware is called ignorance. And then it says, the conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions. We talked about this, the three miseries of one's own body and mind, someone else's body and mind, and higher order miseries. He says, unable to counteract them, he has to remain in a miserable condition. He naturally becomes very morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. Enjoying is his constitutional right. But when he tries to enjoy that constitutional right in a material sort of way, he only gets suffering back. Because within the material sphere, there is no happiness. And so he says, sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be a tiny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and become enemies for small money. If there's big amount of money that they're fighting for, one can say, oh. But what is wealth? Whether it is $10, $1,000 or $10 million, the real wealth is life. If you ask a person, would you want $10 million and you have to die tomorrow? No money and you can live 50 years. Only a fool will choose the money, right? Even a fool will say, oh, I can live longer. Hopefully. Like I said, common sense may not be that common. But So preservation of life is the greatest wealth. But the conditioned soul, although knowing that preservation of life is important, does things by which that life is endangered. Therefore the Ishopanishad calls such a person Atmaha. It's foolish that he will kill himself, that he hurts the soul in that sense. Although the soul is free of all, hurts the soul means it denies the soul the greatest wealth, the greatest opportunity. And Prabhupada gives how this urge for wealth manifests. This morning on the altar when we were hearing Prabhupada, he was talking about Varnashram. That for the Brahmanas, they go from Brahmachari to Grahastha to Vanaprastha to Sannyas. The Kshatriyas, they go up to Vanaprastha. Generally, they don't take Sannyas. The Vaishyas, they remain Grahasthas. Sometimes they may take. And Shudras, only Grahastha. That's it. They can't go anything beyond that. They don't even consider Brahmachari life. And he said, for Grahastha life, first stage is Brahmachari life, and then he should go to grahastha life. And then he sort of, in one sense, corrected himself. He said, he doesn't have to go. He can choose not to go. He can choose not to go, like our spiritual master. And he was like, it's better in one sense. It's if you choose not to go, that's quite okay. It's not like you have to. And like our spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was Naishtika Brahmachari. I mean, it's not that you don't have to go. It depends on our nature. But the point is, it's not like everyone has to. And it's also not that everyone does not have to. It depends on nature. But there is another way. If one can do it, that's great. There's another way. And this whole sense of urge for wealth comes because, here he writes, because he becomes attached to sex. And when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. This is called Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart. And the knot in the heart is so tight that to feel a little relief from that knot, he needs to do things. Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Virtair. He needs a house. He needs occupation. He needs property. He needs family, society. That's how the knot impels him to do things. Because prior to that, something about sex, it is such that if one doesn't have it, then the knot is not that tight. Of course, the knot of material affection is there. But living this kind of life, the knot becomes tighter and tighter. Because apparently, like we were hearing from Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu, that the skin is all pervasive in the body. The eyes are in one concentrated place, the ears are in one place, the tongue and nose are in one place, but the skin is everywhere. And that sense of touch, the rubbing, it doesn't matter which part of the body rubs with the object of sex, it is very pleasurable. And in the third canto, it's described that in the genital organs, there is a special sensation that is created. And for that sensation, the conditioned soul will do anything. It doesn't matter, he'll do anything just for that sensation, where that skin and the flesh have this, whatever that feeling is. And for that, he will have griha, kshetra, suta, apta, the whole thing. Yesterday, Jai Jagannath Prabhu, yesterday, the day before. That sense of touch, the Hridaya Granthi, is such that it's manifesting as holding hands and walking around, he was saying. When people hold hands, he said, that is Hridaya Granthi. It is that the sensation of that touch is the most pleasing. That's why you'll see the people who are into sex, they're always touching each other. It doesn't matter where they are, they're touching each other. There's an affectionate touch that's different. You know, devotees, prabhus come and hug each other. That's not the point. But when one is charged, the way they touch each other, it doesn't matter where they are. I've seen people sitting in the Sunday feast. Of course, it doesn't matter where they're sitting, they're oblivious of the place. But sitting in a Sunday feast, his hands are in her, whatever, pants, and hers are in his, and they're oblivious. I'm like, what are you doing? I had to stop them. Do you notice where you are? Dhanurdas. Do you notice where you are? Oh, is that not okay? I don't want to get into this, I don't want to make it too graphic, but I had a classmate and this was in Georgia. And her husband was also studying. If he was doing PhD and she was in a master's degree. And we had our classes, and our classes were broken into 1.5 hours, 1.5 hour segments. So the 1.5 hours that they were away from each other was such a painful experience for them. Separation, viraha, vipralamba bhava. It was so strong that as soon as class was over, like magnets. And it doesn't matter where they are, student union, cafeteria, outside the class, in front of the professor, it doesn't matter. They're all into touching and feeling each other. So we invited our whole class for dinner. There were 15 of us. Hemangi had just come and said, please come for dinner. So they came too. We were all talking to each other. They were sitting with the group. She was sitting on his lap, and they were oblivious to everyone else. It didn't matter. Do you want to eat anything? Whatever. Do you want to drink something? Whatever. It's just not there. Such is the nature. This is very, very, very contaminating. It creates this knot that is so difficult to overcome. And he says, in order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others. And he creates enmity even among the most intimate friends. Doesn't matter. Ravana, when he took Sita Devi away, he was constantly haranguing her to acquiesce into his plan for sexual desire, because he was completely enamored by her beauty. She's the goddess of fortune. And he was so enamored that his mind was not working. And just to address that disturbance in his mind, he used to be intoxicated. Because if he was thinking straight, he was only thinking about Sita Devi. He couldn't. The thought of Sita Devi was so distressful, because he could not get her out of his mind. And he had captured her. And she was in the Ashoka Vana. He would go see her every day. Every day he would tell her, agree to my proposal. Let me enjoy you. And she told him, get out. And her refusal was actually intensifying his desire. He had the most chaste and beautiful wife, Mandodari. And usually chaste wives means, at least in the Vedic standard up there, they don't say anything to their husbands. They're just quiet. Even Mandodari went to him and said, give up this idea. This is not healthy for you. It'll bring about destruction. Get out of here. His dearmost brother, Vibhishana, came and told him, what are you doing? You have wealth that no one else has. You have a beautiful wife. She's more beautiful than the demigoddesses and the apsaras. And she's so chaste to you. Don't go after Sita. And Ravana became so angry for such advice that he banished his brother. And he told him, you're not a brother. You're a traitor. You're favoring the other man. He says, not other man, it is his wife. You're favoring the other man. If you stay here even one more minute, I will kill you. And Vibhishana thought, how to advise this fellow? Everybody came and advised Ravana, and Ravana became inimical to everyone. He has to cheat. The cheating is, he has to steal Lord Ramachandra's wife. He has to rationalize and justify it. So he kicked out Vibhishana. So then Prabhupada says, sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father, or spiritual master. This enmity is when the spiritual master gives good advice and the conditioned soul cannot take good advice, he becomes angry. He thinks that the spiritual master is not working for his benefit. He wonders, is the spiritual master really thinking of my benefit here? Yes, your benefit is cut that knot. Knot. No, like Prabhupada would say, chant. Can't. So the spiritual master has a very thankless service, that he has to work with a doubting conditioned soul. And the doubts proliferate the consciousness. It starts here, but it proliferates into all other aspects of one's consciousness. And the doubting comes because the person finally thinks, I can take care of myself better. Why do I need to go to this person? That's the beginning of enmity. Because there is that enmity is already there, it's with Krishna. That's why we have turned away. And if Krishna's representative is there, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that the conditioned soul will feel animosity towards the Guru. When his, at the very fundamental level, if his perceived survival is attacked. Although the spiritual master is not out to attack anyone. But it's perceived that way. So the disturbance in the mind, all these are disturbances. Prabhupada writes, this disturbance is created because of not following the principles. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. That is the mischief. It's connected to the previous purports of monkey-like behavior. Monkeys are mischievous. They're uncontrolled. They're always up to something. That's why the monkeys in India, when they run wild, you have to carry a stick. Maybe that's why the gurus carry tridandas, I don't know. No, that's not the reason. You have to carry a stick. Or you have to constantly be watchful. What is this fellow up to? It's not proper. So he says, otherwise, here's the responsibility side. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow. Otherwise, the most important movement for upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension among its members. This is for uplifting humanity. But if there is dissension within the Hare Krishna movement, then it's the same problems that are out there that are in here. And they're in here because Kali has entered. Kali means age of quarrel and dissension. Dissension for nothing. Quarrel for nothing. Like Prabhupada would say, for farthing. They would have a quarrel for less than a farthing. And Kali proliferates where the regulative principles are not followed. Because they're all connected like that. When there is desire for wealth, one may think, oh, I follow the regulative principles, I just need economic stability. And the pursuance of economic stability leads one to collecting wealth more than necessary, because they don't want to be in a situation like this again. And wherever there is aggrandizement or over-collection of wealth, we know from Parikshit Maharaj's pastime that the regulative principles are threatened. Kali resides where there is accumulation of unnecessary wealth. And from there, a person will have dissension arguments. You know, it starts with simple arguments. And those arguments become, we feel they're not addressed, or we feel misunderstood or not understood, and it starts brewing from there. And they all accrue. Accrue means add on. And finally, one day it has to be a straw that breaks the camel's back. One small thing and that's it, I'm done. Very treacherous, very treacherous. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed. When the mind is disturbed, it's the replay of all the things we've been reading about. The travel or the sojourn through the forest of existence. The animals, the predators, the mosquitoes, the thorns, the mountains, the caves, the elephant of death, the tiger of problems, the cheat, all of these things. The mind is constantly disturbed. And by simply following the regulative principles, the mind is not disturbed. That's the beauty of it. The mind is disturbed for want of all these things. These things create a disturbance in the mind. They're negative impulses. When the mind is living in an environment of mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness, the mind doesn't have anything to be disturbed about. It's peaceful. When the mind is in an environment outside of these, it's very disturbed. And that disturbance creates impulses to act to counteract them, which create even more problems, which create even more problems. And by the time you're two steps away, the problems are much bigger. The consequences of our actions are far bigger than the problems which we started out to solve. Dukkha ushadam, tadapi dukkha masadhyaham. Every time it happens, we have a problem, we don't know how to solve it in a Krishna conscious way. We go and try to address it in some material way, and we end up in a much worse condition. And we don't know how to get out of it. Then we do something to get out of it or find relief from it. And we end up in a much worse condition. Then we try to find some other solution, much worse. And if nothing else, we have to drink and drop dead because we have to forget all the problems. That's how it is. It's extremely treacherous. So we're being reminded, as soon as there is something that we can learn to remember Krishna. And when we remember Krishna, problems are solved. Problems are solved doesn't mean suddenly the devotee will vanish. Krishna, hey, this is working nice. It's not like that. The devotee won't vanish. The problem is here in the mind. The perception of the problem, that will go. And we start seeing the devotees in their true nature. So this morning during japa, for some reason, my attention was on that verse of Nectar of Instructions. Syat Krishna Nama Charita Adi Sita Pavidya. And my whole attention was on Sita Pavidya. Like I'm suffering from the disease, or the jaundice of ignorance. It is so bad that na rochikano, this is absolutely nothing coming out of it. Then the solution is kintu adarat anudinam khalusai vajushta. So it's not a one-time solution. He says anudinam, every day, adarat, and I'm holding the beads and I'm respectfully chanting with gratitude, with honor, with dignity, with respect for the holy name, every day. And at least I'm noticing that it's not every day. Some days are something in most days or something, and some once in a while, ha, oh, anudinam. He says, anudinam khalu saiva jushta, one who applies oneself to every day like this. He says, svadvi, he gets some taste, kramat, progressively. Bhavati tadgada mula hantri, the ignorance is rooted out. It's not just addressed or it's rooted out from its from the very core of its existence, from the roots, it's pulled out. So I'll end with this. Sridhar Swami, he in the Padyavali quotes a beautiful verse that Rupa Goswami has included. This is not verbatim, but he says, my dear Lord, the power of your Brahman effulgence is such that it is all-pervading in every corner of creation, spiritual world, material world, everywhere. But those who have taken shelter of the Brahman effulgence, for them, not a leaf on the tree of material existence has moved or shaken. But for a person who chants your name even once, for him, the entire tree of material existence is completely uprooted. You please tell me of whom I should take shelter. So it's denigrating the sense of impersonally approaching something, or thinking of Krishna as impersonal. So that's the point, remembering Krishna. The root cause of our problems, doesn't matter what kind of problems, the problem of feeling hungry, the problem of feeling thirsty, the problem of feeling unheard, the problem of feeling unnoticed, the problem of feeling neglected, the problem of feeling angry, the problem of feeling fear, the problem of feeling disappointed, betrayed, it doesn't matter what it is. It is all stemming from forgetfulness of Krishna. So that's our mandate, that we cultivate our sadhana in such a way that we progressively remember Krishna. That's the only solution. So I'm speaking as if I have done it. I haven't. I'm far from it, but I'm reminding myself. But that's the solution. Any comments, questions? Okay. Siddharth, something? Okay. Maria Mataji.
Thank you for your nice class. You had talked about mercy and, you know, a cup being full with mercy, and yet that cup could be so much greater, bigger. How do we train our eyes or mind, whatever, to begin to see the mercy that is being given to us?
It's part of daily application. That's the verse. Today, I'm inspired to answer from that verse's context. So he says, svadvi kintu adarat anudinam khalu saiva joshta. One who applies oneself to the chanting of the holy name with great respect and gratitude, for such a person, the cup becometh bigger. And it's a daily thing. It's not one day, there'll be an epiphany and suddenly the cup is bigger. That's not our process. That is possible. Yeah, it is called kripa siddhi. And it seems like most of us bank on it, but that's not how it happens. It's susadhana siddhi. Our perfection comes through daily application. Every day, little. Every day, little. In fact, it's described that, and I forget this often, so I'm happy to remind myself, that each day should be a little better than the previous. So if the previous day was really terrible, then while today can be better, it was worse than the day before yesterday. Okay, thank you very much. Jitendra Prabhu, final comments and we'll stop.
I think it was Srila Prabhupada said, we have created Ravana Raj instead of Ram Raj. You know, the whole world is so much agitated, you know. And then when he came over on the boat, and then he had that poem, you know, these people are so inflicted with passion and ignorance, how can I move them, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I was just thinking, you know, I don't know, sometimes devotees bring up like a movie or something that reminds them of this kind of thing. I remember this one movie, it was called Quicksand. And you know what quicksand is, you know?
I know what quicksand is, I'm in it.
So, it was a Mickey Rooney movie, and he became attracted to this one lady, and then one thing led to another, and before he knew it, he was involved in thievery and murder, and he's scratching his head, what did I get into? And then it's just one of those
In his last name. His name is Ruin, no? Mickey Rooney. He's ruined. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.